From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 26th day of August 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He's in Decatur, Illinois. Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois, will join us to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets. We'll hear about the weather from Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey. And Dave Dickey will be here with a look at today's agricultural news and some very important information this week from Mike Gray about the Western corn rootworm. It all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day higher. The nearby corn up 20¼ cents. The high price today at 7.55½. The low at 7.29¼. Settlement price at $7.52½, up 20¼. December futures at 7.68½ high, low at 7.40. Settlement price there at 7.67, up 23½ cents. March corn up 23¼ at $7.78¼. May at 7.82, up 23¼. In December of next year at 6.65½, up 10½ cents. September corn, a settlement price at 14.14¾, up 28¾. November, a high at 26, a low at 86¼. That's $13. But the settlement price at 14.23½, a gain of 30¾ cents today. January settlement price at 14.32¾, up 29½ cents. The March at 14.32½, up 26½. July at 14.30, up 23½. And November beans of next year, $13.53¼, up 13½ cents. Bean meal futures ended at 367, up $8. Bean oil at 56.60, up $1 on the afternoon. The soft red winter wheat at $7.62¼, up a nickel on the day. July of next year at 8.35¾, up 7½ cents. Mercantile exchange numbers finished the October live cattle at 115.25, up $1.15. December at 117.15, 70 cents higher. September feeders at 132.60, 97½ cents higher. October futures at 133.27½, up $1.07½. October lean hogs down 12½ cents at 87.10, but December futures were up 12½ cents at $84.57½. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $85.40 a barrel, up a dime. Ethanol at $2.92¾, 3½ cents higher. Natural gas at $3.94¼, up a penny for the day. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.04¼, up a penny and 9 cents. Gold futures finished at $1,794.10 an ounce, up $34.30. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 11,284 is just about 135 points higher. The dollar at 73.8, down 0.46. The CRB index at 335.26, 3.19 higher on the afternoon. The weather forecast says in the Urbana-Champaign area for the day, we should see this afternoon skies that, well, hang on just a second. Let me find that weather forecast. I must have buried it somewhere in here. We'll get to that in a bit. And there it is. Sunny skies, a high of 85 degrees, mostly clear. Tonight, a low of 61. Saturday, mostly sunny. A high near 87 degrees. Saturday night, clear, a low of 58. And sunny on Sunday with a high near 79 degrees. North-northeast winds at 8 miles an hour then. Sunday night, partly cloudy. A low of 57 degrees, mostly sunny. On Monday, the high near 79. Monday night, mostly clear, a low of 59. On Tuesday, when we start Farm Progress Show, sunny skies, a high of 83. Tuesday night, clear and a low of 62. Wednesday, mostly sunny, a high of 86. Wednesday night, clear and a low of 66. And on Thursday, as we wrap up the Farm Progress Show, we'll be seeing sunny skies and a high near 89 degrees. We'll take a more complete look at the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of this half hour. We'll talk with Jim Angel. He's at the Illinois State Water Survey and serves as our state climatologist.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker is, it's a Friday afternoon, I'm thinking Thursday, because Dan's always with us on a Thursday, but Dan and Mike Zuzulo switched this week, so Mike could be on a flight today, headed for South Africa. Dan, of course, is with ADM Green Group in Decatur, Illinois. Dan, thanks so much for doing that, and thanks for being with us today. Kind of a big day and a big week in the market.
Yeah, it's good to be on the show with a big day up. Of course, I've been gone. I was in Texas last week, so I missed everybody. So it's nice to be back.
Tell me about what you find.
Well, I think chart-wise, the bull is definitely in control. He solidified his position here today with this big push up in corn. Technically, we're within a whisker or so of one of my upside objectives here. Based upon the corrective move that we saw last week of 771, I think the next target that a lot of technicians are looking at is going to be the 791. And if you remember the July futures contract, I think had a high about 799. So those are going to be some of the targets that the market's going to try to reach for, I think, going into USJ's September crop estimate, especially if this weather forecast that I see is going to be dominantly dry over the next 10 days. I think that pretty well finishes off the growing season, and people will look for smaller numbers as we go in that September report.
What was the big push behind the marketplace, and why did it move higher today?
Well, I think a couple things. I mean, I think the pro-farmer chatter and the tour this week was an underlining force into the marketplace. I think the other thing, the gross national product came out so weak here at 1%. Even though Bernanke said he wasn't doing anything in the near term, he said that they would take another look at it in the September report. I think that was a jump ahead, and the market says, well, QE3 is coming because gross national product is so bad that the dollar took a nosedive down. So I think the dollar weakness kind of added a little fluff to it, but I think it's a lot of it is just plain realization that this summer's heat in the Midwest just really took the zap out of these big yields that we were maybe thinking that we had a potential of getting back in June.
And the pro-farmer numbers look like this. The U.S. corn crop pegged at 12.484 billion bushels with an average yield of 147.9 bushels to the acre. The soybean crop at 3.083 billion bushels with an average yield of 41.8. So that one's slightly larger than what USDA was thinking about, at least on the national average yield for the soybeans. But the corn crop down pretty sharply from the 153.
Yeah, I think, though, that's kind of what the market was working. So I don't know if you'll get a push out of the hole on that. I think that's kind of what the trade was talking, anywhere 148, 149. Pro farmer numbers a little lower than that. But I think it's more of a realization that the crop is going to be short. And then, of course, you have to probably brace yourself for some downward acreage adjustments, possibly in the August crop report, and that shrinks that supply all the more. So we're definitely going to have to do some rationing of supply, but that process has been going at least in the poultry sector. And the export sector. However, we did get a good sale today to unknown destinations, which is at least somewhat encouraging.
Turn your attention to soybeans. You said it was made to be broken, and looks like we're on the upside of the $14 mark now.
Yeah, technically, this is what technicians would call a breakout of the sideways pattern that's basically been in development since March. We actually posted our highest close earlier in the week when we were at 1397 and so, and then we had this setback here, I guess Thursday, and then now today we had the big push on up into new contract highs with a solid close above the most recent high or the high that we had back in April, which was 1411. We closed at 1423. So chart-wise, I would expect this thing to kind of show some follow-through. The initial target here is going to be 1441. A lot of times when you break out of a pattern, you have what you call as a throwback correction, which means that the market may fall back to the 1410 area, 1409 area, just to make sure it wants to hold above these levels or that the breakout was valid. But you're going to hear, if the weather forecast is correct, that basically dry weather for the next 10 days, you're probably going to hear a lot of $16 plus bean targets. I think initially you have to kind of talk about something around 1550 anyway. A lot of people is going to begin to talk about that. But you're going to hear some pretty big numbers based upon chart action anyway.
Yeah, and all of this is on the idea that the bean crop, while ProFarmer and USDA both found numbers that were fairly the same, is going to shrink dramatically because it won't fill?
Well, I think that's the case. I mean, remember, ProFarmer's estimate is just basically pod count, and if you don't get any rain on those pods fairly quickly, that bean, you might be able to use those beans for shotgun shells in the hunting season. We're going to have some real small, tiny beans. We may end up losing a lot of those pods if we don't get some rain on the soybean crop.
Dan, thanks so much. And folks can visit you either in the ADM tent next week at Farm Progress Show or on our stage.
Yeah, I want everybody to stop by. We are introducing our new mobile website, and that we'll have some technical comments from myself on that website. So everybody stop by and take a look at it.
Thanks so much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with ADM Grain Group, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. On this Thursday afternoon, or on Friday afternoon, of course, you can usually hear him with us on Thursday afternoons.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Dave Dickey is here now. He'll help us take a look at today's agricultural newscast.
In agricultural news, the House Agriculture Committee expects by mid-October to make recommendations to the Joint Select Committee on Deficit Reduction. The goal is for the Agriculture Committee to designate where spending cuts should be made. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Frank Lucas says if the Joint Select Committee tries to go its own way with regard to farm program cuts, that his panel likely would set about expediting the drafting of the 2012 Farm Bill. However, his committee staff has not yet identified which programs definitely would be affected by cuts. Lucas mentioned that perhaps the Conservation Reserve Program would be exempt, while the Environmental Quality Incentives Program likely would not. Producers offered Senate Agriculture Committee Chairperson Debbie Stabenow a unified theme yesterday at a Farm Bill field hearing. Kansas farmers and agribusiness people said that crop insurance provides the strongest safety net and deserves more protection from federal budget cuts than other farm bill programs, such as direct payments. A hotel ballroom was packed with more than 400 people from across the state of Kansas for the hearing that lasted more than 3 hours. Steve Baucus, president of the Kansas Farm Bureau, said crop insurance cannot afford more cuts, such as those made in the 2008 Farm Bill and the $6 billion cut over 10 years in the growth of crop insurance expenses that was made last year. The U.S. economy grew at a 1% annual pace this spring, a slower rate than previously estimated. Fewer exports and weaker growth in business stockpiles led the Commerce Department to lower its estimate for the April-June quarter from its previous rate of 1.3% growth. That means the economy expanded 0.7% in the first 6 months of this year. Spending increased 0.4% in the April-June period, the weakest growth since the final 3 months of 2009. People purchased fewer long-lasting manufactured goods, such as autos and appliances. Those purchases fell 5.1% this spring, the biggest drop since the final 3 months of 2008. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. That second program will post to willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. Our guest, Chip Flory, a pro farmer. Now, up next, you know, there was a time in the mid-1990s when cornfields right here in this part of the world were plagued by a changed western cornworm. The insect had adapted to the crop rotation farmers had used to control it for more than a quarter century. Seed corn companies fixed that problem by making BT hybrids. And now, as you'll hear, it appears the western corn rootworm has adapted again. Thirteen years ago, my gray was in the cornfields of east central Illinois trying to figure out just how it was the western corn rootworm had survived in first-year corn. As it turns out, the insect had adapted to the crop rotation, which kept it in check for more than 25 years. The result was devastating. But seed corn companies had a solution to the problem, a new way to control the insect. BT varieties resistant to the corn rootworm were released and widely adopted around the nation. It worked. Right up until, well, this year. This month, extension entomologists at Iowa State and the University of Illinois believe they have found more than one population of western corn rootworm that have adapted to the BT technology.
In late July, Aaron Gassman, who's an entomologist with the Department of Entomology at Iowa State University, published a journal article that confirmed for the first time the evolution of field resistance by western corn rootworm to a BT protein known as Cry3BB1 that was designed to be effective when it's expressed in root tissue against the corn rootworm. And I found in northwestern Illinois some fields that had very severe corn rootworm damage, severe lodging, also very severe root pruning. Now, these were BT corn plants that expressed the Cry3BB1 protein, the same protein that Aaron Gassman had described in his Iowa State paper that western corn rootworms had developed some resistance to. Yields will be very significantly affected in these fields, and as producers begin to make some of their seed selection choices for 2012, I'll need to make sure that they're aware that BT hybrids that express this protein, if they've had problems with this year, there are some alternatives that they need to consider for the 2012 growing season.
The Illinois fields in question were in continuous corn using the same BT expression for many years. It appears to have put enough pressure on to cause the kind of damage that happened in the mid-1990s and means farmers will, next year, in the affected areas, need to rotate to soybeans or use a different BT form.
Options for producers to consider in 2012 would include crop rotation, rotation to a non-host crop, the use of a soil insecticide at planting in 2012, the use of an adult suppression control program perhaps, or if they are committed to using a BT, to consider using a BT hybrid with a protein other than just the Cry3BB1 protein by itself. And this may include the use of some pyramided BT hybrids for the 2012 growing season.
So the Western corn rootworm is back, and farmers will need to plan accordingly. It's all part of the job and an important reminder to use management practices that prolong technological fixes. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. Well, right about now, a few farmers in East Central Illinois are going to remember that time when the Western corn rootworm changed, and they are cringing. Let me give you a couple of other things that weren't in that story. You're wondering what that Cry technology is. It is Yield Guard. The other thing is that remember that the Western corn rootworm changed in the eastern part of the state of Illinois has not made its all the way back through Iowa, at least I don't think at this point, because it moved about a half a county a year towards the west, but moved very quickly towards the Atlantic or the East Coast. I don't remember how long that took, but maybe 2 or 3 years. It was very quickly. So something to keep in mind as you think about selection, especially if you live in the northern part of the state of Illinois, for your corn selections and hybrids of next year. You'll have to figure out what kinds of things might work to control the Western corn rootworm in some of those areas. Now on the phone line with us at this point is Bruce Bostard. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Hi, Bruce. How are you?
Great.
Well, farmers in your area are, I know, they're just sick at their stomachs, a lot of them. They're losing crop every day. They were losing, and they knew they had the corn yields that were very low. But at this point, I suppose they're really worried about their soybeans now, too.
Worried about the soybeans. We did pick up some inch-to-inch-and-a-half rains on Tuesday, which bought us some time. It would be nice to see a little bit more rain on the soybeans and help us out, keeping things green, and maybe slow up harvest until after Labor Day, which is always good news, and early harvest is a bad harvest.
Do you have bean fields or corn fields that will be going this week?
No. Late next week or the week after, I think we'll be going on corn. Beans seem to be a long ways away yet.
Yeah, they were planted very late, though, right?
Right. Boy, some of the last corn got in the ground about June 8th, and beans until around 4th of July.
What's basis been like?
Old crop corn basis has been losing ground. You expect to see that old crop, new crop come together as basically the definition between the two gets blurred here. Soybeans, kind of the same thing, although the big thing is the improvement, I think, in the new crop corn. As we're seeing less corn, and you go and talk to not just us, but most guys, I think I'll have enough room to put this crop away. So you see basis chasing what bushels are out there.
And they'll chase them how high?
Boy, that's a good question.
Okay.
I wish I knew that.
All right.
I wouldn't have bet for 12 under, and that's where we are tonight.
And your bids are?
We are at 762 on August corn, 755 for Sepok Nove, beans 1413 and 1394 respectively.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations now. For the rest of you, back in just a couple of minutes, when we'll talk with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey about the weather forecast. Don't forget to come and visit us at the Farm Progress Show. Shows at 10:30, 2 o'clock, and 3 o'clock with our analyst right there in the University of Illinois. Tent on the FPS site.
It's National Cherry Popsicle Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1784, Stephen McCormick was born. An American inventor, he was the first to produce a practical cast iron plow with detachable parts. His cast iron board also had an adjustable wrought iron point mounted beneath, able to decrease the draft while deepening the furrow. Before that, he increased the productivity of a water-powered grist mill by improving the shape of the lower millstone. In 1800, Felix Bouchet was born. a French naturalist. He was one of those who believed that life was created from non-living matter in processes such as fermentation and purification. He was, of course, eventually proved wrong. In 1856, William Henry Perkin received a patent for dyeing silk, cotton, wool, or other materials with a purple or lilac synthetic dye, the first synthetic dye ever produced. In 1900, Hedley Marson was born. An Australian biochemist, he spent three decades with his colleagues researching the role of cobalt and other trace elements in animal and plant nutrition. He discovered that ailing sheep often recovered when given cobalt salt supplements. And in 1950, Ranson Oldstyde, an American inventor, his progressive assembly line in automotive production foreshadowed modern mass production methods. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Murray Wise Associates, a nationwide agricultural advisory firm and land auction company specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of farmland and agribusiness investments. Land, auctions, agribusiness. More information is at murraywiseassociates.com.
It's Friday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line with us to take a look at the weather forecast for the Midwest is Jim Angel, Illinois State climatologist. Thanks for taking the time, Jim.
Hi, Todd.
Well, look out and tell me whether there's rainfall in the future or not, at least in the near term.
Well, if you look at the National Weather Service forecast models, they are not looking very promising at the moment. There's not much of anything out there, at least out for the next 7 or 8 days. And even the 6 to 10 and 8 to 14-day forecasts are not very optimistic right now. They all have below normal precipitation across much of Illinois. And so there's just not much out there going on in our part of the world right now. Everything's kind of all the action is on the East Coast. But for us, it's very quiet for the next 8 to 14 days there.
That apparently is an enormous storm that's making its way into the East Coast.
That's right. Irene is working its way up the coastline, and you know, those are the really bad ones that kind of parallel the coast because they do kind of a maximum amount of damage as they move northward. This is going to be one for the record books.
Okay, and then come back home, talk to me about Farm Progress Show. We'd like really nice days next week. Sounds like we're going to get them. Is that right?
That's right. I don't think we'll be worried about the mud this year.
no.
I think it's, you know, highs are going to be in the probably the mid-80s and lows in the upper 50s, low 60s, and relatively not very humid out there. So for that activity, it's actually going to be pretty pleasant.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
I think that's it.
Okay. Thanks so much, Jim.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is the Illinois State climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey, located right here in Urbana-Champaign. Next week, I will be at the Farm Progress Show Monday through Thursday, back in this seat here in studio, at least on Friday. But we should be able to come to you from the Farm Progress Show live during the 2 o'clock hour Central Time with the Closing Market Report, if all the technology works. On stage next week in the U of I tent, by the way, we'll have more than 20, that's right, 20 of the analysts that you hear regularly on this radio program and on our Commodity Week program as well. They're on stage at 10:30 and at 2 o'clock, and then again at 3 o'clock each day of next week. Orianne Samuelson will take the stage at the 10:30 to 11:30 hour, and I'll be there as well. So drop by and see us if you get the opportunity. We'd like to have you by. Don't forget about Commodity Week. Tonight we record at 4:30, as usual, post to our website at about 6 o'clock this evening. Our guest, naturally, Chip Flory, a pro farmer. And will tell us all about what they found on not only the western leg of that tour, but on the eastern leg. You have a great afternoon and a great weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.